Chapter 66. One day in August, Ron was told that he was to meet for work that day at Sandy Hum's home. The directions were complicated. It was a sprawling 25-acre property with a barn, good fencing, and two horses. Sandy had seen the light flood Ron's face when she mentioned horses. None of what she knew about him led her to believe that he would have any more than the natural feeling that they were nice to look at and too big to want to really get close to. "You have horses?" Ron's eyes were wide with a wonder that she had not seen before. "What kind?" Sandy's body visibly relaxed when she began to talk about them. "Frank is a little older and an American saddlebred, and Tahar is my big, beautiful Persian-Arabian mix." She was surprised when Ron said, "I used to work with an Arabian horse. God, I loved that horse. Ranny Shea." Ron smiled and felt nostalgic for a moment. His eyes went a little dreaming. "I remember bathing her and walking her after she'd been for a run. I never rode her, but I stroked her and talked with her and stayed with her on nights when we were at shows. I slept in the tack stall." Celeste was nodding. "There is nothing like giving my babies a bath." "I'll save some carrots so that you can feed them," said Sandy. They shared a grin and were back on task. Celeste had ordered some special donuts from Peter's Bakery for Ron to bring. "It's a meeting," Ron had protested. "You're going to someone's home," Celeste scolded him. So Ron picked up a dozen mixed Danish that were made in the German tradition of butter and eggs and headed out to Sandy's house. The mixture of being dressed in his work shoes and wearing jeans and carrying his attaché case felt odd to him. Ron smiled as he glanced down at the pair of sneakers that he also brought. He was excited to see the horses, but you didn't walk around horses in sneakers, and they should definitely not be your only pair of shoes. Her place was deep in the western hills of New Jersey, and miles and twisting turns from something greater than a county road. Ron imagined Sandy driving these unlit roads in the night hours that she kept. Her home had the name Dreaming Fields. Ron looked for cars as he drove up the long driveway that was bordered on both sides by a mass of lawn. Small saplings were planted at intervals. He saw a clump of cars around the side and found a spot for his Nissan. He stood at Sandy's door, carrying his donuts and his attaché case in jeans and work boots. His black T-shirt had the red scrawled signature of Salvador Dali across its front. Sandy was wearing worn work jeans and a shirt that fit like her everyday wear. Ron put down his attaché case and said, like a little boy, "Can I go to see the horses?" Sandy put down the Danish and said, "Sure. I'll get some carrots and come with you." She reached into the freshener drawer of her refrigerator and pulled out two bunches. Straightening, she smiled and presented them to Ron. "I saved these for you." Sandy introduced Ron to her mother, and their resemblance was startling. She was a 30-year-older version of Sandy, although not quite as tall. Hilda Hums shook his hand. "Sandy tells me you like horses," she said, smiling. Sandy Hums moved her body differently as she got close to the barn. Her stride lengthened. Her shoulders moved more easily. Two cats started to the left of their path in opposite directions. "How many cats do you have?" said Ron. 11 or 12, depending on the old Tom that lives in back of the barn and is a little feral. And there are two dogs that you haven't met yet. Ron was a bit surprised that he hadn't heard a dog barking. He wondered where the other people who had parked their cars were. Frank and Tahar wandered over as Sandy noticed that Ron knew enough to close gates in back of him. Sandy opened her arms, and the two horses, wearing protective fly gear over their eyes and light-filtered covers to help protect their hides from the ever-present nuisance of flies in August in New Jersey, nuzzled against her with the front of their heads. Sandy pressed back against each of them lightly. Then Tahar regarded Ron. Ron stood with his arms down at his sides and then slowly raised the hand holding the carrots and slid forward to the horse's left, stroked his neck with his free hand, and spoke softly and introduced himself. He held his face close enough for Tahar to see and then reached up to his mouth with one of the carrots, holding it flat on his palm. Tahar plucked it with his soft lips. "He likes you," said Sandy, who then made her way back into the house and left Ron with her horses. Ron stood between them, feeding them carrots and patting their flanks and talking to them. Their feel, their smell, caused him to feel transported. He eventually came back into the house with a look that Celeste would have identified as the way he looked when he surfaced from a dive.